Okay, boys. So today's daf is daf lamed hey. We're holding at the very top of the Amud with the Gemara asks a kasha esve, and the kasha is on Rava. What did Rava say yesterday? Let's take a quick look at lamed dalet Amud Beis, the fourth line from the top of the Amud. Boy minei Rav Chiya bar Avin mei Rava. Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rava a very simple, straightforward shaila. Kikri alecha. Reuven looks at Shimon and says, "You see, this is my loaf of bread, kikri, my loaf of bread, alecha. It's osur to you. You are not allowed to eat from this piece of bread or from this loaf of bread because I put an iser koinim on it. You cannot eat from it." And then, a day later, or a week later, v'nostalib matona, he gave him as a present to Shimon. He said, "Here is the bread. Mau, can Shimon take the bread now? Do I say kikri omaloi ki iser b'reshusei hudi aser?" What he was telling him is kikri. He didn't just say this loaf of bread. It's my loaf of bread. So as long as it's mine, you're not allowed to go and eat from it. But now that I give it to you, now it's your loaf of bread. And of course you can eat from it because it's no longer mine. Is that what he had in mind? Oy dilma alecha omalei. That ilavei shavisei hegdish. Or maybe he was telling him, this kika which belongs to me, I am now making it like a shtik hegdish on you, and therefore it makes no difference whether it remains in my rishus, or whether I haven't handed over to you in your rishus, it remains a shtik hegdish, and therefore you're not allowed to eat from it under any circumstances. So, that was the shaila posed to Rava. Very simple. My bread, I asked it on you. Is it only asr on you as long as it's still in my rishus? Or does it remain osur even after I give it as a matana to Shimon when I give it to him?
It would make a big difference if he had not said, "My bread is osur."
Apparently, from the Gemara, if he just said kikar, that wouldn't be a shaila, because this kikar is osur under all circumstances. When he says kikri, that seems to be the focus that it's mine as opposed to yours. But now that it's yours, you do whatever you want with it. So that's the Gemara Shaila. Omalei Rava said, "Come on, pshita tzachadava pashit. The ava gav the ava leva matana. Osir, of course it remains osir b'matana." I mean, that's the whole purpose of making this koinim in the first place. He said it's osir upon you, period. Nothing more to talk about. Ava kikri alech lafukimai. What else would the kikri alecha come to exclude? Lafuke diganva mine mignev, that you're not allowed to steal it from me. Come on, he's not allowed to steal it from him anyway. So that the focus of the kikri seems to be that he's telling him, this remains osur to you forever and ever. You can stand on your head. You can never eat from this, even if I give it to you matana. So that seems to be the psak of Rav. That's the psak of Rav. So Freyti Moriets Esvei, top of the Yomid, you're telling me that if you say kikri and you give it as a matana, it remains osur. I will show you from a braisa just the opposite. What does it say in the braisa? Omaloi, Yankel goes over to Beryl and he says, "Hashileni perosach, do me a favor, I'd like to borrow your cow." Why do I want to borrow the cow? Doesn't say, but presumably he needs it for, perhaps for going and doing different types of avoida, like harisha, like doing plowing in the field. Maybe he needs it for doing a disha, for treading on wheat. Whatever, he wants to go and borrow the person's cow, he's going to take it for a day or two, he's going to give it back. Omaloi, so now Beryl says back to Yankel, he says, "Koinim porashani koni loch." Start again. "Koinim porashani konoi locha. Or nechosai olecha. Im yeshli para elizu." Basically what he told him is, "Sir, I only have one para. I don't have anything more. And I need this para myself for the same reason that you need it. And therefore I cannot give it to you. And if you don't believe me that I only have one para, koinim para, that I'm going to go and put now an isra koinim, a neder, to go and show you that I'm really telling you the truth. Sh'ani konui, this para that you see, this belongs to me." Konui presumably means that I bought it, nurtured it, raised it, it's my para. "And loch, and I asserted upon you, alecha." That's the koinim alecha. So the koinim, the para shani. The para shani is like saying parasi, like kikri, it's my para. Shani konui, I own it, it belongs to me. Koinim, it's alecha, loch, it's aser, beisr koinim. Or he says, nechasai alecha. He goes and makes a broader statement to go and show that what he's saying is truthful, he makes a koinim that all of my nechosim should be osir upon you. And now the second part of the neder is with a tnai, im yesh li para elazu, if I were to have another para besides this one, meaning this is the only para that I have, and therefore I'm telling you I asked this para on you because I need it, or I asked all my nechosim on you because I need this para, and I'm making a koinim if I don't have any other para, meaning he's saying that I don't have another para, this is the only one. See, if you take a quick look at the Rosh, the first two lines of the Rosh, in my Gemara, it's on the right hand margin, koinim para shenikonoi, ke koinim yehei alecha, it should be like a koinim on you, im yeshli para elazu, if I have another para besides this, ulzu ani tzarech, and I need this one. You can put a period, because the V'yeshli Poros Acheris, it goes on the next Shukumar. So that's what the person is trying to convince the other guy. Mister, I'm sorry, I cannot give you this para. This is the only one I got. And I need this one. You don't believe me? I make a neder to show you I really mean it. And now the Brisa repeats the same story, and we change from cows to a kardim. Kardim, some say it's a hatchet, some say it's a shovel. Hashi leni kardumcha, please, go and lend me your hatchet, your axe. Omaloi koinim kardim shiyesh li. I put on a koinim on this, and again it's going to be the same shakla bataria. This is the only kardim that I got, and I need it, and therefore I'm going to show you that I mean it with a neder, and I'm making a neder that this kardim shiyesh li belongs to me, my kardumi. I'm not giving it to you. Or shani konoi, or this kardim that I bought. The difference between shieshli and shani konoi, presumably shieshli means I have it already for a long time, or I arshened it from my grandfather, or I manufactured it myself. Shani konoi, or the one that I bought recently in a store, makes no difference. The point is, this kardim that belongs to me. Or he makes a koinim on nechosai olai, like the Gemara said before, all my nechosim are osir upon you. Im yeshli kardim elazeh, if I have another kardim besides this one. However, since I don't have any other kardim, that's why I'm telling you, I need this kardim, I cannot give it to you, and therefore I asir this kardim on you, or I asir all my nechosim on you. This is what he said to the other father. And now the Braisa continues. Then afterwards we look at his barn, or we look in his tool
shed,
good, and we find over there that in the barn there's in fact another part of this, another cow, and as soon as I see it, what do I say? Holy cow! Or I went to the tool shed and I found another kardim there. He does have one after all.
So the kardim is invalid.
No, not to the koinim is invalid. The koinim now is triggered by this tanat. Bechayiv osir, as long as Yankel, or Beryl, I forget which one is which, the person that owned the original paro, or the person that owned the original kardim, as long as he is still alive, osir, then the other one cannot go and use it, cannot have anach. Why not? Because he said, koinim, I put a koinim on this paro, or I put a koinim on this kardim, if yeshli para elazof, I have another para. Im yeshli kardim elazof, I have another kardim.
And he does.
Exactly. And since he does, so then the koinim is triggered.
Right.
Since the koinim is triggered, you're not allowed to use this para, you're not allowed to use this kardim. As long as he's alive.
He's saying, like, I'm gonna, if I'm lying,
Brother Shai, unfortunately, you're getting cut out. We don't hear you.
It's going to be your own. That's,
I'm sorry.
In other words, if I'm not telling the truth, it's really, I haven't.
This person is a liar with a capital L. He said he doesn't have another part, and he has another part. He said he doesn't have a card, and he has another card. And to strengthen what he was saying, apparently the other guy knew that he was a shtick liar, and so therefore, to strengthen his statement, he said, I'm making a neder. And then it turned out that he's one of these neder rishoyim types of guys, that he made a neder, but it wasn't true, because in fact he had another party, he had another kardim. So now that triggers the koinim, because the koinim was based on the tanai. This koinim parazu im yesh li para elazu, and in fact he does have another para, so therefore, holy cow, the kainim goes and is triggered, or the iser kainim on the kardim is triggered. So what happens now? So then it's awesome. That's not a chiddush. The chiddush is now the second part of the brayso, or the reason why we're bringing the brayso is because meis oishenos lematana hariz emutter. What happens if that original person that owned the para or owned the kardim nebuch passed away? Since he said that this was para she'ani konui, that it belonged to me, nechosai alecha, or he said by the kardim she'eshli she'ani konui. Each time he used those expressions, meaning it's mine. It's only mine as long as he's alive. Once he passed away, it's no longer his. Who does it belong to?
Yorshim.
The Yorshim, assuming that there are any Yorshim. Unless it's a gera, to always Yorshim. Anyway, so the point is he passed away, it's no longer his. We should also live Matana. Or one day, Yankel and Beryl finally get together, and finally they become good friends, and he says, remember that para and that kardim, I could use one. No problem, I give it to you as a present. Here's the para, here's the kardim, it's all yours. Is he allowed to go and use it now? I would say, no, there's a kainim on it. How can you use it? Zok the Braisar is a mutter, you can use it. So l'chayru, what's the reason why you can go and use it? Not like what Rava said yesterday. That what? When does it remain Oster B'Koinim as long as it's Kikri? It's Parasi. It's Kardumi. But once it's no longer my Kikar, my Kardum, my Para, because I'm giving it to you, so it's no longer Oster. Now it's yours. You can do with it whatever you want. But that's not what Rava said yesterday. Rava said that the reason why he put a koinim on the kikri in the first place, the avagav, the ugly matana, even if he gives him matana, it remains asur. Here, we're saying if he gives him matana, it's mutter. So we have a kasha and Rava from a braiso. Om Rav Acha Rav Ika, shenitna loy al yedei acher. This case of the notna loy the matana is not referring to that Yankel gave it directly to Beryl, but in fact there was a middleman. You might say that this is laundering it through a third individual. In other words, if Yankel gives it to Beryl directly, we still stay with what Rava said yesterday, it's osur. If Yankel, however, one day decided to give this poro or kardim to Shmerel, and then Shmerel gave it to Beryl, so Beryl's no longer getting it from Yankel, he's now getting it from a third party, from Shmerel. That's okay. That's not a problem. Because it's no longer Kikri. It's no longer Kardami or Parasi. It's now Shmerel. No, Shmerel can do with it whatever he wants to. And he wants to give it to that person. It's no problem. And Rav Ashi says, I'll bring you a rai that that's the Pshat Ekanami Diktani, because back in the Braisa that we just learned, it doesn't say Shenosna Loi Matana. It says Shenitna Loi B'Matana. Loikatani Shenosnalai. Shenitnalai means that it was given. Shenosnalai means that he gave it. Shenitna is lashon of Nifal. Nifal means that it was given. In other words, Kal would be Yankel gives his para to Shmerel. Shmerel gives his para to Beryl. Here we're talking about that it was given to Beryl. How was it given? Hayideyach. Now, if you look back in the Braisa, on the fifth line, or you should not, in my Gemara it says shenosnalei matana. How does he say dekanami diktoni shenitnalei matana? I don't have any nekudas that suggested that shenitna. It looks to me like it was shenosna. So this line, grad, it says shenitnalei. You see the extra yud. But back 2-3 lines ago,
the text of the Braisa itself.
Sorry, the text of the Braisa.
Yeah.
So the Ran already focuses on that, and the Ran says, ignore the fact that there are no nekudas. That was the Mesoida. If you look at the Ran, Dekanami Diktoni Shenitnulah. You have that? It's about 10 lines in the top of the Yomid, 6-7 lines into the narrow lines. Dekanami Diktoni Shenitnulah. Klaimer. Shekach Hisa Kabbalah Biyodom. Likrois Nitnu Bechirik. Afo Pisha Ein Bexiva Shum Hefresh. In the Gemara, since we don't have the Kudais, you cannot tell the difference between Shenosna or Shenitna if it's missing the Yud. Without the yud, then you can read it, put a dot under the nun, and it becomes nitna with a chirik. Or you can put a kamatz, which is shenosna. Says the Ran, really, although the braisa says shin nun tof nun hey, and now Rav Ashi says dekanami, it says nitna, it doesn't say nasna. there's really no way that you can see that with your own eyes based on the physical text, because the word Nosta in Nitna is written exactly the same way. Zhokteran, they had a Kabbalah Biyodim, and that's the way you're supposed to read it, not Shenosta, you got to read it Shenitna. So if anybody reads this price as Shenosta, you have to correct him and say, no, it's not Shenosta, it's Nitna Loim Matar. Of course, our Gemara, they threw in the extra Yud to make life a little easier. Presumably, they only had a Chirik with a Yud if they pronounced it with a strong Yud, like Shenitna, as opposed to Shenitna. You're just doing it with a soft Yud, with a soft Chirik. They didn't have the Yud. Anyway, the printers put this in to make it easier for us to understand it. So, bottom line is, if you laundered it, so to speak, through a third party, then even Rava would agree. And in fact, even already yesterday, the Ran brought this to the fore, even before today's Gemara. You see, if you look at Boyim Minei Rav Chiya Bar Avin, I'm looking at yesterday's Ran, the third wide line from the wide lines, Boyim Minei Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Mirova, etc., go on to the beginning of the soft font, the light font, the kikri, ba'oicha kikri shaloyim bashma. Kikri sounds like when it's still mine. That was your point. Avla'ach shen nosno nitna. Once it's transferred, kibin to lihave shaloy, it's no longer his. Maybe it's mutterba. That was the shayla posed to Rava. Oy dilma olecha amalei v'ilavei shav yehegdish. Tochik amalei zu shehi achshav kikri. Now it's kikri. Even if I give it to you as a present, Asura lecha olam is going to be asur forever and ever. That was the shayla.
What's the point of giving something if it's asur bahana? If it's asur bahana, doesn't it vitiate the neder? I mean, if it's given over as a matana, doesn't it?
First of all, who said any of these things ever occurred? These are all
hypothetical. Okay, fair enough. But when something is given over, if something is given over and you can't have any anah from it, how is it given over? There's no.
That's what we want to know. Does it have any legal efficacy if he gives it?
There's no real possession of it if you can't have anah from it.
If you're asking why did he go and give it to him after
that, it's all theoretical. Okay.
Or at one time they were terrible loggerheads, and now came Aseres Yemei Tshiva, and one came over to the other and said, you know, I know that we learned in Masechta Rishon, Masechta Yuma, Kodesh Baruch Hu is only Mechapen Yom Kippur, Bein Odom Lamok, and not Bein Odom Lachaveroi, so I want to go and make up with you. And they sat down, and finally at the end they drank Lechaim, and they became good friends, and years later they became Mechutonim, and everything is great. So at that point he said, remember I made an Isser, forget about it, I'm giving you now this Kikar, I give it to you as a present, it's yours, Givaldik. Is he allowed to give it to him? He put a Koinim on it forever, he didn't give it a time limit, so the more wants to know. Maybe it goes poof. It's only usr as long as it's mine, but once I give it to you, it goes away. Or maybe alecha remains usr. So that's the marashai. But then continues on the Ran. Ubevade pshita le'rabchia. Teheicha shenosan madir hikazeli adam acher. If he gave it to a third party, mutra mutterboy, then there's certainly no shayla. Who can not come on like we have later on daf mem vav. Beis chashani nichnas, sod chashani lekech. As long as it's my base C or base Cha, then it's awesome. But if I sold it, if the person Chas Hashem passed away, or he sold it to somebody else, mutter. As long as there's a third person to be shari. It's going directly madir to mutter. But if there's a third party, no shayla. And that's the Maris Teretz over here. That when it says in this Bryce in the Masam at the Parim at the Kardim, it's talking about not she nostalay, but she nitnaloy. So therefore you have no raya against Rav. And that's the end of that shakla v'tayi. Now we go back to the Gemara. Boyim in a Rav Meir of Nachman. A separate shayla, which we touched upon about a week or 2 weeks ago in the Gemara. Yeish me'ila b'kainomis oiloy. Now, what does that mean, yesh me'ila b'kainomis? So it's very, very simple. You look at the Ran on the left-hand margin. Excuse me. Yesh me'ila b'kainomis. Ha'oysed dover olav b'kainom. Person asked something on himself b'kainom. And as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, there's an afkimina between whether he asked the whole world or he asked himself. For our purposes at the moment, makes no difference. He said, I'm not allowed to have anah from this box of tissues. It's oser on me mit aneidim mit a'kainom. And then, benenami menem. And then afterwards he forgot. And in fact, he took a tissue or two, and he blew his nose, and he did have a noah from it. Mi machayiv me'ila. Does he have to go and bring a korban asham me'ilois by the fact that he violated his koinim? Oilai. Mi amrin and asoike korban. v'chayiv olav asham me'ila kinenim min hakodeshim, or not. Now, on the surface, it sounds like, oh, come on, you're really exalting something to a far-fetched level. The whole union of koinim, this is carbon, doesn't mean really a carbon. Am I going to bring this tissue box for carbon? Am I giving it to the gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash? I'm just using the term koinim. It's a borrowed term. It's a kinoi for carbon. It's carbon. It's not mamish a carbon. I just want to be noide b'novra, dovra nodur, not b'dovra asur. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, no, maybe in fact it rises to the level that if you violate, maybe in fact you have to bring a carbon asham me'ilais, as if you're nenem in a kodshim. Now, what sounds to us like maybe that's just remote and far-fetched, we're going to find in the Gemara that in fact it's a machloikis tanoim. One Tana holds that in fact you are moil bekinamis. And of course the other one will disagree. So we're going to see that right now. Zok Dimar. Is there a din of yeshmi ila bekinamis? We learned in our Mishnah, Malkim shenuitin alea schar tipol hano lehidish. What was this case? Remember we were talking about that you have a madr, matamudr, a machzer aveda, and the balu aveda, and the machzer aveda is returning the aveda to the balu aveda. Now the balu aveda has it, and the balu aveda says, well, you know, here in our community, we find out how much you earn per hour. I heard that you get minimum wage $15. I'm going to give you now $15 for returning the aveda to me. I knew it took you about an hour to get from your home to here and then go to the office. You lost an hour of work. I give you $15. And says the machzer aveda, sorry, I'm not going to take it from you. I did a l'shem mitzvah. I know I lost an hour of work. I'm going to make it up. Don't worry. I'll work an hour later today. You don't pay me anything. He doesn't take the money. So now what happens to that money now? So since the mudr is not allowed to have anor from that money, because after all he's mudr from the machzer aveda, so he can't use that money. So what does he have to do with it? We learned in the Mishnah, people anor l'hegdish, he has to go and give it to hegdish. The machzer says, I don't want it. The muchzar, the mudr says, well, I can't use it, because now he's giving me anor, I'm retaining this $15. So he has to put it in hegdish. So now the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah use the expression, you put it in hegdish, lememra, isn't it trying to give us a milza achav agav orcha kamashmalan? He's throwing in an extra nice fringe benefit that ki hegdish, that a koinim has a status like hegdish. Ma hegdish yesh ben meila, af koinamas yesh ben meila. Now you're thinking to yourself, it had to say that people are no hegdish, since he's not taking it, he cannot use it, so you put in hegdish, so why does that automatically mean that this is a din of me'ila? Nothing else. What else can he do? Says the Ran. No, there's a major other option which the Mishnah should have said. And what is that? Look at the next shtickel, Ran. If in fact they are totally right. Unrelated.
When something is usher by na, you just destroy it.
Exactly. So why are you giving it to Hegdish? Just destroy it. Throw into Yamamelach. Like you find throughout Shas. Like you said, by Avoid Azorah. What do? You give it to Yamamelach. You don't give it to the Gizbar of the base of Migdish and say, okay, now it's your headache. You figure out what to do with it. You throw it into Yamamelach. You too. If you can't have a na, throw it to Yamamelach. It must be because a koyim, in fact, does have certain indisha, certain halachas like hegdish. Kivin de behegdish, osik tana, tipa no lehegdish. And since koyim is a form of hegdish, that there is me'ila you're right. So therefore, it would make sense then to talk about you have this money which you can't use, instead of saying throw it to Yama Melech, go and give it to hegdish instead. It's up to you, Mark. The member of
yes. When someone was asked around his wife something, and then she, we had that a couple of weeks ago over there, she used that option. So the question whether we can, whether he can ask her that on her, and we said there, I think the Ron said also gives it to him.
He asks on everybody because it's all world. That's the Machlokas Ron and Rambam.
What you are referring to, what Brother Barry's referring to, we're going to get to in another minute or two. Just stay tuned, and we're going to get back to it. So the Gemara says, "Ma'hegdish yesh ben me'ila, afkanomas yesh ben me'ila." Says the Gemara, "Okay, so therefore we have a raya from our Mishnah. It says people lehegdish is the chasimin yesh ben me'ila." So the Gemara, in fact, it's a machlokes. Get to know it. What's the machlokes? Koinim kikar zu hegdish va'achola. He said, "I put on this a koinam that it should be like hegdish. Doesn't mean mamish hegdish." this should be a koinim on this kikar. In other words, he puts a regular isur, like hegdish, like carbon, the achola, and then he ate it. Who ate it? Bein hu u bein chaber. Makes no difference whether he ate it or somebody else ate it. Since he put a general isur koinim on this, like hegdish, which means he asked it for everybody.
Right.
So if anybody and everybody uses it, tichach, so therefore anybody is moil, and therefore they would have the din of the asham mi'ilois. And the fichach yesh lepidyon. Just like a korban, you can be poida, you can go and be poida this koinim as well. How would you go and be poida? I know how you go and be poida a korban or hegdish, you give the money to the gizbah. Here you just go and transfer the kedusha of this kikar to money. And say, this kikar is worth $5. I take out a $5 bill and I go and make a pidyon and point it one on the other. And therefore, with that, it removes the iser koinim, and now anybody and everybody can eat from it. Similarly, but different, kikar zu alai kehegdish, if he says, this kikar should be usher upon me, not the whole world, just me. Va'achola hu. And then who ate it? In fact, that individual that said kikar zu alai, in other words, the owner, the previous owner of this kikar, who asked this kikar on himself, if he ate from it now, then mo'ab, because he violated his own issa me'ila, his own koinim. If somebody else eats from it, like mo'ab. So, there's no chiddush here, except maybe he's trying to go and dramatize that you can have an object which is quote-unquote hegdish, only for certain people and not for others. For me, the original owner, it's kehegdish, and therefore if I eat from it, mo'al. But for the other guy, no. Levichach, and because of that, since it's not a universal hegdish type of situation, it's just a private individual hegdish, ein lepidyon, it doesn't have the same din like a normal carbon, where you can be poida, a normal hegdish, where you can be poida. Here there's no opinion, divrei Rameh. But what do I see from Rameh? I see Rameh very clearly. He says, mo'al, mo'al, that is a din of me'ila. V'chamoimrim, Bein kach, loimal, there's no such thing as me'ila fisha ein, me'ila b'kanamis, period, nothing to talk about, no me'ila b'kanamis. So you see that this is clear-cut machloikis, Rameir and the Chum, yesh me'ila ein me'ila. Only Rav Acha b'reid, Rav Avi, Rav Ashi, kikri olecha, v'nosali b'matona, mi mo'al. Let's go and now conflate, which means to merge the two questions that we had before, and this new question now, which means, we already said before, according to Rava, that if a person says, kikri olecha, he's not allowed to go and, or the recipient, if he afterwards gives him a matan of that kikar, then it remains osir on the recipient, even though he gave it to him a matana. Why? Because the whole reason why he put an isra on it, l'chadchila, was to go and say, this is osir forever and ever on you, mit akoinim, mit an isra, and therefore, even though I give it to you matana, it's no longer mine, now it's yours. You can't have hanoah from it. I in the brice on the top, we said by the kardim and by the parah that if it was given to matana, it's mutter, because the brice is talking about that it was with a third party, right? He laundered it through a third individual. Right, but here he's gone giving it to him directly. So now what's the din? An aslam matana. He can't have hanoah. But what happens if he does have hanoah? Mi mo'al. Who is going to have to bring the korban asham elois? Lim al noisin is the noisin hamatan. Is he going to be on the hook for the meila because he gave him the kikar which was osir and he gave it to the recipient?
And it's a shliach, and there's a shliach for meila because the person who's eating it basically is acting on behalf of the person who osired it, who made it hegdish. And we do have meila is one of those exceptions of shliach
devar. Okay, good. I understand. We don't need to come on to that. You'll see in a moment.
Okay.
So the Gemara is asking, meanwhile, limul noisin, are you telling me that the noisin who gave him the matana, he's being moil because he's violating his very own neder, where his neder says that this should remain kikar osir on you forever and ever? What business does he have now violating his own neder by giving to matana? So Gemara, holy asira alei. Lamaisa, there's no iser vis-a-vis him. It's the iser vis-a-vis the recipient. He didn't aser himself.
Right.
He can still eat and enjoy and have a noah from this kikar as long as the kikar is still around before he finishes it off. Mashenkein, the only one that has the iser is the recipient. So just by the noisin giving it to him, that shouldn't go and cause the noisin to be moil. So the makaba, okay, so the recipient by taking it, he is moil. Yochel di omer hatera bi'isi yisur le'bi'isi. If I would have known this is this, I would never have taken it. I didn't know that it was osir. What do you want from my life? You're giving it to me. How am I moil just by handing it over to me? Now it's in my possession. I moil. What did I do wrong? Amalei, so he answered him, Mekabel moil kishiyotzi. At the point of time where the person that owned the kikar handed it over to the recipient, at that time neither one is moil. The first one is not moil because he didn't make an isser upon himself, so there's nothing to be moil. The recipient didn't do anything except stretched out his hands and he took it. But that didn't go and do anything.
There's no hanah derived yet.
Right. Likishiyotzi, if and when the makabel is going to use it, he's going to eat it, he's going to serve it to people, he's going to sell it. At that point, then he's going to remove it from quote-unquote hekdesh, from koinim status, because now we're using it, he's being moyo. That's when he's going to be mechuyev to go and bring his korban hasham. Eloys, she called him moitzi, mois, hekdesh, lechulin, kasav shel chulin hu moyo, avze moyo. What the Gemara is telling us is, even if at that point the recipient doesn't even know that there's an Isser Koinim on it, and he eats it and enjoys it, he still, if and when he finds out that this was Ashtik Hegdish or Ashtik Koinim, at that point he's going to have to go and bring his Hashem Milas. Why? After all, he's an innocent bystander. What did he do wrong? Says the Gemara, that's the case with most, if not all, Hashem Milas. Shekola moitzi mois hegdish lechulin without being aware. You only bring Hashem Eloys if there was a helim, if it was a bishoygig. There's an iser to go and use hegdish b'meizid or bishoygig.
Malkus and chumash.
Exactly. But if a person does it bishoygig, then he has to bring his korban asham. So kol moitzi mois hegdish lechulin kasar b'shechulin. He thought it was chulin, and then it turns out that it wasn't. So after that, so the same thing over here. He didn't realize, he didn't know, and that's why he's moil. So now, getting back to what Brother Shai was saying a few moments ago, this gets us back to the Gemara back on Daf Tezvav. Because you remember back on Tezvav, the Gemara said in the case of a husband went up with a wife, if he gave her something and said it's osir upon you, or he didn't give it to her, he said something is osir upon you, and then after that, she used it, she ate, she had a no. So then the question was, who's the one that's going to be over on the Bal Yachal Devarei? Is it the husband or is it the wife? What are the svaris? The husband, the chayit is off the hook. He didn't violate the Isser. She violated the Isser. So why should he get Malkus? What did he do wrong? So therefore the chayit she should do. On the other hand, is Bal Yachal Devarei, it wasn't her Dibur, it was his Dibur. So give him Pech. So if you remember back on Tezvav, we had a machloikis in fact between the Ran and the Rambam on this very issue.
Yes. I like the Ran and I like the Rambam.
Okay, so if you look at the last Ran here on Tes Vav Amud Aleph, last Ran, it's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Halach holcha asur b'hano osi v'loik.
Going to her father's house.
So the husband had said to his wife, you go too often to your parents, and I know what you do over there, you probably say all nice things about me. So therefore, next time you go, you're going to be ushered to go and eat from all my food or from my possessions. He puts an Isser on her. And then guess what? She did. She violated what he said. And she did go to her parents. And she did have a no'ah. So it says in the Mishnah, it says in the Gemara, loike. Now the question is, who's the one that's loike? Jok Yetzteran. You have that, Brother Shai, 10 lines on the bottom. Kaloimer. Loike he meaning she gets the malchus because she violated the neder, the isra hanor. Aval hu ain't a loike, surely also shim isra elishadir. He didn't do anything wrong. He was the one that caused this to transpire by making the neder, but he didn't violate the neder, so she gets the malchus. The ashtu the taninami hoshmina nagav orche the Allah rechiva isura, that the isra is riding on her shoulders. Aval like all of cloud. Avaramam zal kosev like who shehidira. He was the one that madir im hena oisa if he allowed her to have the hanok. Aval he ain't a like it. The kivin leinodra klal leishayech baliyachal dvore. How can you go and say that she's machal the dibur if she didn't say anything? She hasn't opened her mouth with her tyrannical husband that she has. She hasn't opened her mouth ever since the chuppah that he gave her the ring, and she said, I do. She didn't say, I do. But the point is, at least she nodded with her head and she took the ring. So she didn't say anything. Nevertheless, Zoktoch, the Ran, than Nachmul. So the Rambam says, Loikahu, it can't be Loikahi, because of the fact that she was not Noidim. And then Valesa the Vadi, who ain't a Loika? And then there's and then he gets back to our Gemara over here. What is our Gemara? Valesa. The Rambam is wrong. The Vadi who ain't a Loika. He does not get Malkus. Then I'm reading the Kamon, but Perek ain't been a Mudder. Oh, our Gemara, Daf Lamedei, wow. How could he be mild? It's not osir upon him. Frank gets the run on the Rambam. Alma einhu oiser oiver klal. The oiser is not oiver at all. Because if you're telling me that the one that the oiser is oiver, the one that made the issues oiver, so why does it say in our Gemara that we just learned now that the noiser can't be moil because it wasn't osir upon him? Who cares? But he was the one that imposed and impressed the isser on this kikar. And so therefore, if now that isser is violated, then le'yachal dvorai, the Rambam says, loikahu, so he should have to go and bring the asham ilois, that this koinim was violated with the isser me'ilah. From Murinami, vadi avar, etc. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now, you'll see that the Ran remembered what he had written back on Tezvav, because he repeats it once again here today. If you look at the Ran over here, Limel Noisin, it's about 10 lines before the bottom of the Ran, so a little bit past halfway down the wide lines of the Ran. Limel Noisin Holei Osraleg, you have that, Brother Shai? Limel Noisin? Good. Umikan Shuvel Haramam Zal, Shikosa by the Hamadris Chavera Vehachiloi, Loikim Shimbal Mishum Leyachal Devorah, that he, the mother, gets the Malkis, Kemoshik Safti Lamalav Berek Elim Mudar. Remember what we said back over there? That there the Rambam said that the Madis Chaveroi, who Loike? You see from our Gemara that the one that handed over the kikar says, well, he couldn't be Moil because he didn't do anything wrong. After all he did was he handed over the kikar. That doesn't cause him to be Moil. The Moil is the one that now uses the kikar. So, you see, Lechay, not like the Rambam. The Rambam says that who like it? Lechay, it should be he, or the recipient should be like it.
I like to defend the Rambam here.
Please,
to my defend. Guns here. In this case, because we have the exception of Shlich Daravera by Me'ila, and the Isser is derivative of Me'ila, okay, that's why here and only here can you say that that the liability falls on the person who initiates the neder. However, in that case of the husband and wife, it's not a chetza, he's prohibiting her from going to her parents, right?
That's right? The tonight.
Right, the tonight.
The neder is on the food.
It's a different, it's not, as you would say, on all fours.
Okay.
Here you have the exception of Yesh Lech Darveira as part of what could be derivative here.
Who's the Shliach over here?
It's the person making it's the person who says that Kikar is Asar.
Saying he becomes the Shliach for the recipient.
And so the recipient is the Shliach of the person making the neder. Therefore, when the Shliach has Hana'ah, he triggers the Me'ilah in the person who made
the Mishalech.
The Mishalech, thank you.
You see, the Gemara doesn't...
It doesn't raise that at all, so I'm wondering why not. It seems like if you're going to use Me'ilah, then, you know, don't mine mine, and, you know,
I mean,
export everything here, including the Yeshliach Devarveira quality in Me'ilah, so which is an exception.
Unfortunately, the Rambam is not around. Maybe he would say, Barry, thank you for defending me, you did a great job. So bottom line is, the Gemara has a Shaila, who's the one that's Moil, and the Gemara says that at the time of actually handing over the goods, nobody's Moil. Like Shioitzi, then he'll be Moil. And that's the end of today's Gemara on the Amud Aleph, and we're starting now a new Sugya on the Amud Beis, Zok the Mishnah Baita. V'torim is Trumasi Masroisav L'datay. This is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we said you have a mother and a mudder, and the mother, of course, is not allowed to give hanor to the mudder, but nevertheless, we said in the previous Mishnah, there's certain things that he's allowed to do, like shoykel shikloi, and he's allowed to be machzavidosoi, he's allowed to go and pray for the halavah, right? We have in the Mishnah back on Lama Gimel and Aleph, shoykel shikloi, boyrei es choyvoi, machzavidosoi. So even though the mother is not allowed to give any hanor to the mudder, but legally, there's certain categories where he's permitted to do it. He's allowed to give his machzor shekel, he can pay up his choyv, he can give his aveda. So now our Mishnah continues on in the same vein. But Torah is trumasi umasroisav ledatoi. What he can also do is, even though the mother is not allowed to give anor to the mother, he's allowed to go and be mafresh trumas and maisers on behalf of the mother. Does the mother know about it? Well, the Mishnah says ledatay. Why is ledatay so important? Mechim to be explained to Mechim tomorrow. And in fact, there's going to be a shaila, who's the datay that we're referring to. As you see, if you look at the top ram, Mefarish be Gemara, Lamed Vav and Bebez, that's tomorrow's Gemara, the Dati, the Mat, Mirchem, to be explored more tomorrow. But the Gemara is going to say it's not talking about that the Madr gives from his own Tvua, Truma and Maestris on the Mudr's Tvua, because that would certainly be Mahanahim in a very demonstrable financial way. He's only doing him the Toiva of being Mafresh, the Trumas and Maestris, which is, it takes away, if you will, the burden, it also takes away the mitzvah from the owner of the, from the mudr, but nevertheless, he doesn't give him a financial benefit, and therefore, that is permissible. He's allowed to be tayyim. Umakrav olav, if the mudr happens to be a kohen, and the kohen does the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and the mudr is now bringing in karbonos to the mudr, makrav olav, he's allowed to go and bring those karbonos on his behalf. He can bring kinei zoven, and kinei zovois, and kinei yoldois, chatois vashomois. All these karbonos are permissible. And the Gemara is going to ask, why don't we just go and say kol karbonos? After all, we left out oilois, we left out shlomim, and a bechor, and ma'amen, and ma'asa ba'ayma, and karbon pesach. Vos epis, why only focusing on these?
The kohen gets a part of that.
Right, he gets the chazan v'shok.
And over there, and a chattas, he doesn't get the chattas. The only one who can eat a chattas are the kahana. Hashem is all these are kachi kodesh. Only the kahanim can eat it, so he gets a portion over here too. Right, Mirchem, we're going to explore this further in the Gemara shortly. By the way, by the kinim as well, each kahan is typically an oil and a chatos.
Chatos oif has them some meat,
and chatos oif the kahanim can eat from it. There's not a huge amount, but whatever there is, there is. Okay, and it's invited in the Mishnah. Umalamdois will allow to teach him Torah. Medrash halachas va'agodois. Why is he allowed to teach him Torah? Says Iran. Mitzvahs lav lehenes ninu. Yes, the Mishnah says, avalo yamdina mikra. But Chumash, he's not allowed to go and teach him. Tanakh, he's not allowed. Medrash yo halachas agadus, but not Tanakh. Why is Tanakh different? Mechem will see, either tomorrow or the next day, why mikra is different. It's based on a posik in the Torah, as we'll see. Avu malamadu is bonavis, but he's a mikra, but he's allowed to go and teach his children. That he's allowed to teach mikra. And again, this is going to be based on mikra, on psukim, like we're going to have Mirchim in the Gemara. By the way, the word v'espenoisav is a bit of a hot ticket item. In fact, in the new Ois V'Hod Gemaras, where they have that Gois V'Tzionim, there's a God that, in many editions, they take out the word v'espenoisav, because you're not allowed to teach your daughter's Torah. Because, kamalamda ibon of benoisav Torah, is kiil malam tiflus. Anyway, so there's a Vilna going on this, Gro, who says that this is, in fact, the Makoir, where the Rambam says that you are allowed to go and teach Tanakh to girls from our Mishnah, because it says Malamani was benoy, as benoyis of mikra. So he does have that girsa, the Gro had that girsa, the Vilna Goyim, and he says that that's why Laloch you're allowed to. And Laloch, as we know, that's why it's common that in all the, from the girls' schools, they do teach a certain amount of mikra of Tanakh to the girls. Anything beyond that becomes a very, very, very difficult sugya, Mitchem, to be discussed among the rabbis. If you have your shayla, you should ask your competent Orthodox rabbi. But from our Mishnah, we have a rai that you're allowed to go and teach girls Tanakh, and that's the basis, as the Grof, for that psakalach. Anyway, getting back to, we're focusing now, we're skipping termis to Masim at Masrei, so we're leaving that for tomorrow. We're focusing on the second halacha of the Kinei Zov and Kinei Zovis. Idboyelo, we have a shayla. Hani kahani shluchi didonava, oishluchi dishmaya. And another Gemara says shluchi derachmana. The Kahanim that work in the Beis Hamikdash, whose shlichim are they? Are they our shlichim? Shlichim meaning for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs that certain people have to be designated as those that are going to do all of the kabbanis of the Beis Hamikdash, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu selected the Kahanim to be our shlichim, or nothing to do with us. These are shlichim of the Rabbeinu Shlom. Rabbeinu Shlom sent these shlichim to do the work. So you can tell me, what difference does it make? My man of Kimina, Lemudran Nor. Very simple case. If you have a person who is a kohen, and he's not on the best of terms with Yankel, he says, Yankel, I don't want to give you any more hanor ever again because I dislike you, and you get ferluch, stay out of my way, I don't want anything to do with you. And then a week later, Yankel shows up to the Beis HaMikdash with his carbon, and look who's in charge of all the kabbanis, paint that madir. Can the madir bring the carbon on behalf of Yankel the mudir? If you're going to tell me that the coin is representing Yankel, the one that's bringing the carbon, and then he's giving him a door by through this representation, through the shlichus, and therefore it should be awesome. However, if you say he has nothing to do with Yankel, he's just acting as the messenger with the Rebbeinu Shlom, then sorry, then it's totally mutter, because you know, I have a physical interaction, but I'm not representing him. So that's a grace enough gemina. So what's the psak? So that's our Mishnah. Toshma, it says beferish in the Mishnah. Then what does it say in the Mishnah? Starting with the second line, which we just learned a minute ago. Makrev olav, even though the madir and the mudir are at loggerheads with one another, the mother is allowed to go and bring the kinezov, and the kinezov is the oldest, and the chatoyus, and the shamla, and up. See, Amr shluchididon, if you're going to go and tell me that he is our shliach, in other words, the mother is the shliach of the person who's bringing the carbon, the kumhanile, that obviously is giving hanoah. Why would the Mishnah say that this is permissible? Musach zayin lechoyra, that he's not a shluchididon, but he's a shluchidishmaya. Says the Gemara. According to you, listening makrav olav karbonos, why does the Mishnah only isolate and list these particular ones, the kinezov and kinezovos, yoldos, kadoyos, vashamos? Why doesn't it go and say makrav olav karbonos generally to go and include all other karbonos? Ela, it's punkfakert. In truth of the matter is, these shluchim are acting on our behalf. Shluchi didon. And therefore, they are not allowed to bring a carbon oila, or a carbon shlomim, or bechor, maser, pesach. Those things they cannot do. So why can they do these things in the Mishnah? Since each one of these that we're bringing in the Mishnah is talking about mechsori kapara. Mechsori kapara means that a person is bringing these karbonos because he or she needs a kapara. In the case of the zovois and the yoldois, the kinei zovin and the kinei yoldois, and the kinezovis, kineoldis, and then what Mishnah leaves out in Mitzayra, all of those people.
Hashamos is Hasham Mitzayra.
Yeah, but he also has to go and bring his Khan.
Oh, the Khan is not brought in the Beis Hamikdash, is it? The Khan is done in the Sada, right? The Mitzayra, the Tara
and Mitzayra only goes and brings at least one of his Kabbanis, if not both, you have to check it out, are Oifais.
Okay.
So even the case of the kineoldis, it's only by an. A yoledes aniya, a yoledes ashira brings behaima. It's only a yoledes aniya that goes and brings a kan. Anyway, I'm sorry I raised it. The point is that all of these listed in our Mishnah are people that need a kapara. And in the case of zavis and yoldes, they are not allowed to eat from kodshim until these kabbanis are brought. They're allowed to eat truma, they're not allowed to eat kachim. That's why they call them chusari kapara. The chatois vashomis people are allowed to eat kachim, but they have to go and bring their carbon chatas and their carbon ashim, depending, of course, on what aveda they did. So, since they're all chusari kapara, they are in a separate category. Why? Dom Rav Yochanan. Ha kol tzrichen das chutz mechusari kapara. The word of das doesn't mean like, as opposed to chen shayt v'kot. Das means has to be with their consent and with their acquiescence. Chut mechusari kapara, dear, even if they don't know that you're bringing the carbon on their behalf, you don't need their consent. You don't need them to know. Shari odin may be carbon albanav al benoyis vaktanim. A person that has young children, and for instance, one or more of them might be a zav or a zava, and now you have to go and bring a carbon. No problem, the father can bring it on their behalf. How do I know? Shenema, zoyis toiras hazav, bein godol bein katan. That extra word, toira, comes to go and mean marba. What does it mean, marba? That not only the zov can bring it on behalf of himself, but also the father can go and bring it on behalf of the cotton. The cotton himself can go and bring it because the cotton himself has no assets, and or because he doesn't have any das, so the father can bring it on his behalf. So what do I see from that halacha, Rabbi Yochanan? That you can go and bring a carbon for a mechusa kapara even without his or her consent. That being the case, in that case, I'm not considered to be a shliach. A regular carbon, I am the shliach of the one that's makrev the kabbanis, because he or she is implicitly appointing me, his or her shliach, to go and bring the carbon on his behalf. But the mechusa kapara, they don't have to have das at all. And even if they do have das, it's not essential, it's not meaningful for purposes of bringing the carbon on their behalf, because even if the person didn't know about it, I can go and bring the carbon on his behalf. I can bring it without their das, without their knowledge, without their consent. That being the case, really we have a raya from our Mishnah the other way around. The be'emes and they happen to be shluchei didan. And that's why the kohen cannot bring on my behalf, on behalf of the mudr. He cannot bring an oil, and he can't bring a shlom and a carbon pesach, and can't bring any of those because he's acting as my shliach, especially my carbon pesach. Torah says that's one of the makaris for shlichas. So therefore, cannot. However, if he's a mudr hano, but all those other things, he doesn't have to act on my behalf because he can even do it if I'm sleeping, if I don't even know that it's going on. I didn't even bring that carbon. He was the one that mafresh the carbon on my behalf. That's fine, just like a father can do it for the cotton who has no das. So therefore, bottom line is, these are the exceptions to the rule, where even though he's shluchi nidan, he's allowed to go and bring it on my behalf.
Why is Pesach not included? Since the chiv krom Pesach is chiv kares, if it's not performed, then it's like the mechusar kaparth in the sense that a failure to bring a krom Pesach requires a kaparth, as it were.
For sure.
So why shouldn't a
person? What happens if a person doesn't bring his carbon oil or shlomim within three?
Baltacher yamal is
so that's also he's going to
have. I see. You can say everything has a tangential balkapara quality. Okay. Exactly. Okay. Fair enough. Okay.
Besides the fact that remember you were talking about on the Amud Aleph the Gabi the Inyan of Shlichas, one of the makoyros that is shliach shalom kamoisai is from the parsha of carbon Pesach because it says that. Everybody has to go and shecht. And the Gemara asks, is it possible for everybody to go and shecht inside the Azara their carbon? Impossible. So one person goes and shechts on behalf of many. After all, we're going to have a whole bunch of chaburas, and each chabura is going to have 5, 10, 20, 50 people. They can't all go and shecht. One person shechts on behalf of others. You see, it goes between your shlichas. Oh, so you have to have his das, and you have to appoint him to be your shlich, either explicitly or implicitly. So he could not bring the carbon if you're a madr and mudr situation. But all those, you don't need that. So therefore, the madr can bring it on their behalf. Pray tomorrow. I'm happy with that, Teretz, but I want to just focus.
You're still eating the buzzer of the you're just getting benefit, or would this kohen not be allowed to eat?
So our Gemara doesn't address that today. Maybe it'll address it tomorrow. But whenever it comes to a kohen eating a carbon, we say, Mishulchem Gevoya Kazachu. He's not getting it from the Balim. A carbon belongs to the Rabbeinu Shlom. The Rabbeinu Shlom says, okay, by carbon, oila, kaviyachal, Kodesh Baruch Hu eats the whole kol tia. When it comes to other kabbanas, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I go and shear my carbon with you. So Kahanim can go and eat the Kodesh Kodeshim. Kodesh Baruch Hu shears the Shlom with the Balabatim, with even the Yisraelim. But it's all Mishuchel Gavoya Kazachu. It's not from the.
The Basin Yiddish picks up the check and gives the waiter his pay, as it were.
To go and.
Isn't there Tovah Sadat?
It goes to Pesach. It goes to Mishmar and Pesach, whoever's there. You can't choose. I mean, you can choose a kohen, but you're limited. You can't, unless it's a kohen himself, right? But normally you have to go to the Pesach working that day, and that's it. Take it or leave it. Come back tomorrow.
If you're not happy with these kohen, come next week. Yeah. You want to benefit another kohen. The Indian of the Tevis Sano is more by Truma, because there you can go and pick any kohen you want. But getting back to our Gemara now, since Rabbi Yochanan used this Zois Toiras to go and say Ben Kotten Ben Godel by the case of Toiras Zoris Azov El Meata, let's do a parallel. The Rabbi Yochanan says Zois Toiras Hayiladas Lazochan Lanikeva. So you're going to say over here also Toiras means Ben Katana or Ben Gedoyla, that the father can go and bring the carbon, the Kan or the lettuce's carbon on her behalf. Numamela for the Gedoyla, but how can you go and bring it for the Katana? Ketana bas lady, Aktana can't even have leda. It's impossible. V'hotani rabibi, kamed rab Nachman, sholish nosha mishamshes b'moich, ketana muberes ameinika. That those three, we've had this come on, of course, a number of times, that if these three women are allowed to mishamish b'moich by putting a moich down below, it's a machloikis, the Rishonim, whether it's talking about pre-bia, and therefore to prevent the zera from being mazriya, or it means post-bia to go and clean up, to remove the zera. So normally women would not be entitled to do this because you're being mashchis shechva zera levatola. Here, however, we're talking about a life-threatening pikuach nefesh situation. Therefore, said Rabbi, that these three women are allowed to mishamish moich, v'ktanim, muberes, and the minika. What's the reason why? Ketana, Shemet Zabar, Vitomus. The Ketana, unfortunately, if she becomes Muberes, Chuli Lubachan, she's going to pass away. Ah, so therefore the Gemara assumes that it's a Dova Poshet that she's going to pass away, and if that's the case, she cannot be a Bas Leida. If she can't be a Bas Leida, how is it possible for a father to go and bring a carbon on her behalf, Ben Ketana, Ben Gedoyla? Afterwards, the Toiras includes by Zov, cotton, the Godel, so apparently by the Aledis, it's Ketana Gedoyla, but by Ketana, it's not Shaykh. Everything Gemara Hahiz, how you let us, we're going to learn the same drasha, but not Ketana and Gedoyla, but Pikchis and Shoita. That if a father has a daughter who's a Pikchis, it means a normal young lady, or Chas Hashem Nebuch, she's a Shoita, Nebuch, she's deranged, then he can go and bring on his behalf the carbon. Why? She can order maybe carbon al ishtei shoyta. What happens if his wife is a yoledes and his wife Nebuch is deranged? He's allowed to bring a carbon on her behalf. Kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda, Tesanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, order maybe carbon osher al ishtei. As we know, when it comes to a yoledes, it's also one of these oyle v'yoyreds. It's not oyle v'yoyred three madregas, but it's two madregas. That if she happens to be a wealthy lady, she would bring a behema. If she happens to be a poor lady, then she brings the kan of oifis, like it said at the beginning of Parshas Ki Sazria. So, bottom line is, says Imar, other maybe carbon osher al ishtoi. How do you measure if she's an ashira or an aniya? Masha konse isha kona baala. So you don't go and measure her ashiras, you measure it against his ashiras. So other maybe carbon osher al ishtoi, he brings it on her behalf. And any other carbon that she's chayv, shekach kois of love, this is what he writes, among other things in the Ksuba, v'achrayis tislach alayim in kadu islam, I'm going to take care of all of those achrayis. Ah, so just like he can go and bring on his wife, even if the wife, chas v'sholem, is nebuch ashayta, so he can go and bring on behalf of his daughter, even if it's ashayta. So therefore, we do have the same drasha that we had by Zov. There we spoke about an age, godel or cotton, and here by yeledes, we don't talk about age, we talk about pichas and shayta, which is the parallel situation, because over here it's not shaykh to talk about the ktana. So you talk about the pikkus and shayta. So bottom line is the Gemara has so far been poishet the shayla from our Mishnah that in fact the kohanim are shluchi didon, and the only reason why the madik can go and bring these kabbonis that are enumerated in our Mishnah is because these are exceptions to the rule. They're all mechusari kapara, and Mi'achim to be continued tomorrow. Brother Shai, we'll see you tomorrow, Mi'achim, in person.